Everybody has a favorite verse in the Bible, and I suppose everybody has a favorite verse in the Bible, but if you asked me what my favorite was, this begins in verse 11 of chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And so they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, and yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found.'" May God bless the reading of his word. One of the threads running through the parable that Jesus tells here is the wonderful love of God that is extended unto all mankind. For you see, throughout this chapter, the father of the prodigal son and the elder brother represent God the Heavenly Father and the love that is His for all of His created beings. You see, you and I were made for God, and therefore we were made for love, because the Bible says God is love. But for God to be God and man to be man and love to be love, man had to have a choice in the matter. So God said to me, "You can walk with me and rejoice in my love, and we will always continue to walk together. But if you choose not to love me, you have the option of turning your love capacity away from me." And that has been man's dilemma ever since. The greatest need that any man, any woman has is to be restored and renewed in the love of God. But God has extended His love beyond our sin, sent His Son Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Therefore, God says unto us, "You can come back unto my love." Now, I'm ready to submit to you this morning at this time that the greatest need that any human being has is a need to have the right kind of love. Now, there are four things that I want to point out
to you about the love of God as demonstrated in this chapter. The first thing I want you to see about the love of God that is clear in this particular passage is the fact that God's love never forces itself on anyone. Never does. Look at the illustration. The young man is, he comes to his father. He's a little arrogant. He's a little immature. He thinks he's smarter than what he really is. He says, "Father, I want you to divide the inheritance with me. I want the portion of goods that comes to me right now. I don't want to wait any longer. I want to go my own way. I don't necessarily want any family around me. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I just want you to give to me what is coming to me." And in the first place, he didn't have anything coming to him unless his father had died. And in the second place, the father not only knew that he didn't have anything really coming to him, he also knew that he didn't have enough sense to take care of it if he gave it to him. But the Bible says without any argument, the father gave the young man his request. And if he divided the inheritance, one-third would go to the younger son, and the remainder, two-thirds, would go to the other son. So the Bible says that the father allowed this young man his decision. Now, I want you to understand something about the love of God. There's a lot of people that have the idea that since God loves everybody, and that means God loves me and God loves you, it doesn't make any difference how I respond, the result is still going to be the same. Let me assure you that is not the case. Let me assure you that God loves you, but a certainty you need to know that God will never force his love upon your life. It is a matter of option. It is a matter of choice. You see, God knew what Adam was going to do when he gave Adam choice. He knew what Eve was going to do when he gave Eve choice. God understood, just as his father understood, what his son was going to do. Now, there are some of you, perhaps, who are listening this morning. Maybe you're watching over the internet, and you have the idea and the attitude that you can go as far as you want to and that God's going to arrest you somewhere and put his love in your life. I'm going to assure you that you haven't gone too far, that what God's love can't reach you, but I also want to assure you that God will not arrest you and God will not push his love upon you. A preacher of another day, Dr. A.B. Earle, was at the Mount Vernon Hotel in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania one night. He was there in the hotel lobby waiting for another minister to come and pick him up, and they were going off to a revival meeting or planning meeting of some sort. And the other minister wasn't there, so Dr. Earle sat in the lobby for a period of time waiting on this fellow minister friend to come pick him up. He said from a bar that was right off the lobby, he heard the most awful scene that you could imagine. Foul language, loud talking, just a terrible scene. He said it really offended my spirit, my soul. And he said it wasn't long until the gentleman that I was waiting for came, and so we got up to walk out. And as we were getting up to walk out, this man come running out of the bar saying, "Dr. Earle, Dr. Earle, wait just a minute, please." So Dr. Earle stopped, and the man came up to him and said, "Dr. Earle, do you remember preaching a revival some 15 years ago in New York City?" He said, "I certainly do." He said, "Well, Dr. Earle, on the last night of that meeting, there was a young man seated right there close to the front." He said, "That young man was under conviction and consternation about his soul and knew that God was bringing conviction to his heart." He said, "Dr. Earle, I was that young man. I didn't go forward that night, but I went back to my room aware that I had to do business with God, aware that I had to make a decision." And he said, "In my room, the Holy Spirit of God began to deal with me and told me that I needed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and honor his claims upon my life." And he said, "Dr. Earle, I rejected him that night." And Dr. Earle, "I chose against God. I chose to reject Jesus Christ. And my life for the last 15 years has been everything that you heard in that bar just a few minutes ago. Loud living, cursing, fighting, meanness, hatefulness. That's all my life has been." Well, Dr. Earle asked his friend, "May we just stay here a little longer?" And he began to plead with this young man. And he said, "I want to ask you something." He said, "I want to tell you about the grace of God. I want to tell you about the love of God. I want to tell you about his son, Jesus Christ. But I believe you already know that. And you know what you need to do. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you every Wednesday of every week at 12 o'clock if you'll pray that God will bring conviction to your heart. And at the same time, on every Wednesday at 12 o'clock of every week, I'm going to be doing the same thing. And we will pray for your soul. And we will pray that God will bring conviction to you. And that man looked him in the eye and said, I will not. I will not pray to God. I hate God. I will not. I know God's bigger than me. And I know God may send me to hell. But I will not pray to God. I will never pray to God. Now you see what happened there? That man made a decision. That man in his room that night said, I choose against God. I choose sin. And sin had so hardened his heart that though God loved him, he would and would have saved him, the young man's heart had been so hardened and no longer was his heart touched by the tender love of God. Listen to me. Don't toy around with the love of God. God's love never changes. God's love always goes on. But God will never force his life upon you. The second thing I want you to see is that God's love, when left and forgotten, always brings sorrow, always brings disappointment. Look at this man's life. He came in, asked for the portion of goods. His father gave it him. The Bible says he made his journey into a far country. He had an idea of what he was going to do. He went into that far country by design, by choice, made a strong decision to turn his back upon his family. He was going to do his thing his own way. Now, before we get to the place that this prodigal son ended up in, let me just mention to you, that's the way sin always acts. Sin is when you make a decision that you're going to do what you want to do, and that's the way sin always winds up, always in the hog pen. How did he end up over there? First of all, because he had a greedy eye. Greed is the very genesis of sin in our experience. We look at something, we want it. This young man wanted something and he went after it. He didn't want to listen to his father anymore. He saw something out there that he thought he wanted, and because of greed, he went after it. Friend, remember, the greedy eye is the beginning of sin. And if there's anything in your life that you are determined to have at any cost, you need to hear this. You need to understand that that thing that you are determined to have is not worth the price that you're going to have to pay for it. Sin begins with a greedy eye, the lust of the spirit, and then sin leads to a proud spirit or the pride of life. I heard about a pastor who was counseling with a 19-year-old man. This 19-year-old boy was on his way back from the divorce court. He'd gotten married a couple of years before as a teenager. Already had ended in divorce. He went by this pastor's office. He didn't know him, but he wanted to borrow some money from him so I guess he could get home after the divorce. And the pastor looked at him and said, you're 19 years old. You've already been married. Now you're already divorced. He said, let me ask you something. Did you have your parents' permission when you got married? He said, no, I didn't. He said, well, did you talk to your pastor in your home about getting married? He said, no, I didn't. And he looked at him and said, well, why did you do it? And the young man said, because I didn't want to do it. The honest confession of every sinner, why did you do it? Because I wanted to. David could have blamed Bathsheba, but he did it because he wanted to. Adam could have blamed Eve, but he did it because he wanted to. Samson could have blamed Delilah, but he did it because he wanted to. Everybody goes around saying, well, the devil made me do it. But you sin because you choose to sin. I did it because I wanted to. Oh, but I had a bad family environment. My parents kicked me around. My father molested me, and that's why I do all the things that I do. No, it's not. No, it is not. You do it because you want to. And until you get to the place where you deal with your sin in honesty and say, I do it and I did it because I wanted to, then you haven't really dealt with sin. This young man in his greed and in his pride went his own way and he became careless. The Bible says that he wasted his substance in loose living, just threw it here, threw it there. And the logical and inevitable consequences of the greedy eye and the proud spirit and the careless life is that you end up lonely. My friend, I want to tell you something. The prodigal son ended up lonely in the hog pen because he left everything that was familiar and everything that mattered. He wasn't made for the hog pen, It was lonely out there. And there's no place in life that is as lonely as a place where you never should have gone with to begin with. You see, you wasn't made for sin and squalor. You weren't made for the hell holes of this world. You wasn't made for eternal damnation and hell separated from God. You were made for God. You were made for God's heaven. You were made for Jesus. And if you are not rightly related in God's love through His Son, Jesus Christ, then you are not where you belong. And sooner or later, you're going to discover it is very lonely out there without them. Now, the third thing I want you to see in this story, which is so amazing to me, is that God's love continually reaches out. This young man was down there in the hog pen, and he came to his senses. How many of my father's men, hired servants, hired men of my father, how many of them on my father's place have bread enough to eat? And here I am starving. So I will arise and I'll go to my father and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. You know, just treat me like one of the hired men. You know what happened, don't you? The Bible says the young man got up and started on his way home. And the Bible says the father saw him when he was a long way off. Now, when he left, he probably was clean-shaven, had on a nice suit, but on the way home, he didn't have any of that. I don't know what long way means, but to me it means one thing, and that is that the father had been looking for him down that road. He had never quit thinking about and loving that son every day, looking for that man to return home. And the Bible says when the father saw him, he didn't wait till the boy got to him. It says he ran to him, and when he got to the boy and looked at him, because he said, Father, I've sinned against you in heaven in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And before he could finish, the father interrupted him, fell on his neck, and he kissed him, and he turned to his servants and said, bring a robe and put it on him, put the ring on his hand, put the shoes on his feet. This my son who was dead is alive. You see, the father's love had never, never stopped. Now, God's love will never force itself on your life. But God's loving hand reaches out. It hovers over you no matter who you are, where you've been, how far in sin you are. The only thing that's stopping you from experiencing God's love is that God will never close His hands around you and receive you until you reach up to Him and ask Him to. And even if you don't, He still loves you. You remember those times when you were angry with God? God didn't quit loving you. You remember all those times when you didn't have time for God? He didn't stop loving you. You remember all those times when you blamed all your problems on Him? He didn't stop loving you. If you today are convicted of your sin and you know you need God in your life and you get up and you walk out of this building and you refuse God's love and you walk straight into hell and spend eternity in hell, God will still keep on loving you. God loves every sinner that's in Hades. Every sinner in Hades has to live with in eternity with the awareness that they have gone to Hades spurning God's love. Nobody ever went to Hades because God didn't love them. Hades wasn't made for God's people. You were not made for Hades. You were made for heaven. Heaven was made for you. But sinners have made Hades that place they'd rather be than to experience the love of God. But you see, everybody in Hades is going to be consciously aware. There is God. There's Abraham. There's. I see this person, that person. You will recognize God and you'll realize that I could be there, but instead I'm here. And the reason I'm here, not there, is because I chose to be here. Because I refused the love of God. God can change you into anything you want to be. You don't have to be good enough to come to God. You'll never be good enough to come to God. You just come as you are. And then the last thing I would share with you from this story. God's love, when remembered in return, always brings redemption. This young man got up and started home. And before he got to the house, the old daddy saw him. And his daddy welcomed him home. Because, you see, that's where he belonged. You know what made that young man get up and go home? He didn't get up and go home because of the stench of the hog pen. That hog pen stank every day. He decided to go home when he remembered home. when he got to where he was so conscious, he wasn't so conscious of the hog pen, but that he could remember home. Do you ever read your Bible really, really carefully? Do you know that everywhere in the Bible that it mentions repentance, it always mentions it with joy? And do you know what else? You know what causes people to come to Jesus? When they remember heaven, when they remember home, when you remember you were made for God and not for the stinking hog pen sometimes we find ourselves living in. People don't get saved because they're afraid of hell. People get saved because they're excited about heaven. They're excited about home. And if God's love through his son Jesus Christ doesn't cause you to be saved, then I submit to you, hell will never cause you to be saved. Hell is just there for those who refuse that love. I had walked life's way with an easy tread, had followed where sin's allurement led, until one day in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face. With station and rank and wealth as my goal, much thought for my body and none for my soul, I had entered to win in life's mad chase when I met the Master face to face. I met him and knew him and blushed to see that his eyes full of sorrow were fixed on me. I faltered and fell at his feet that day. My castles melted, he vanished away. Melted and vanished, and in their place, not else could I see but the Master's face. And I cried aloud, oh, make me meet to follow the path of thy wounded feet. My thought is now for the souls of men. I've lost my life to find it again, ere since one day in a quiet place I met the Master face to face. Come to Jesus and be saved today. Know the joys of eternity in heaven. It's what God made you for. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving us, for loving us, for never giving up on us when we gave up on you, for times when we were angry and mad and selfish. Thank you for always being there. This morning, remind us of the commitment we need to make to always serve and follow you, to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response is hymn number 500. I'm sure you know it well, just as I am. Whatever decision you need to make, you come as we stand together and we sing, just as I am.